guys, welcome back to another episode of the On the Rocks podcast with me, your host, Vanessa Rock. I'm so excited to be sitting down and recording tonight. I don't have wine or anything like that tonight. I'm kind of boring. I drank a lot this weekend. We don't need alcohol. We have water, you know? So water it is today. It's actually supposed to be my dry January. And I'm really sad to admit that, like, I only made it 10 days into January without drinking anything. Apparently, I have no self-control. But, well, you know, it might have actually been more like 20 days without drinking because towards the end of December, I didn't go out. I didn't drink. I didn't really do anything like that. I think I had champagne on Christmas. Like, I've been really cutting back my alcohol consumption. So that's my dry January. But if you follow me on social media, like anytime I post a drink or anything like that, like I'll be drinking champagne or like a margarita, I'll hashtag it dry January because I feel like, I don't know, it's just funny because I tried really hard. I was telling everyone in my life that I was doing dry January, like I was so committed. Yeah, I tried, but I feel like dry January is just kind of like counterproductive because it makes you drink more, or at least it did for me. Like I got to the point where I was craving alcohol. Well, I wasn't craving alcohol, but I was craving like going to June Shine and going out. Like I really wanted to do all of that, but I was like, no, I'm doing dry January. Like I can't. And then I realized it was just hindering my own, you know, social life and self. And so I stopped. Maybe sober October. You never know. You're like, it's okay. It's fine. Whatever. Okay. Moving on. But let's start out the podcast with some things about my current state, you know, what I'm doing, what I'm reading, what I'm listening to, what I'm watching. Let's get an update about me. So, I mean, I guess you're listening to a podcast with me talking to you, so I guess it's interesting to hear about like what I'm currently doing because a lot of what I talk about in this podcast are previous life experiences or lessons I've learned. So right now I'm just getting ready. So getting ready to start school. School starts back up this month. It's about the end of January. We're getting ready to start up. Back second semester. Let's go. Woo, woo, woo. Okay, that's annoying. But I'm kind of stoked for this semester. I'm only taking 4 classes and I have a lot coming up. I'm going to Peru in March, which is really exciting. I'm going with my parents. We're doing this whole trip. We're going for 7 days right before spring break. So I kind of have to like get prepared for a lot of things this semester. I mean, it's going to be not an easy course load. Four classes is not easy by any means, but last semester I took 5. So I'm kind of excited for like a slight bit of a break on the course load. And then I have to prep, you know, getting myself together, making sure all my like assignments are done, everything before I leave in March to go away for a week, which I'm so excited about. I feel so lucky and blessed to have the opportunity to travel. I feel like I've gotten to go to some like really awesome places in my life. And the next stop is Peru. I get to go to Machu Picchu, like what? And Cusco and like all of these really cool places. So I'm so, so excited for that. But that is going to be in March. In March a couple years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, I got to go to Fiji and Australia right around the same time, which was epic. So I'm just excited to keep traveling and keep doing all of that. But it does kind of make me a bit nervous because it does happen within the school year. So I have to prep and make sure that I'm not going to be behind and not fail any classes because I'm gone for a week. But that's just my own concern. But right now, yeah, I'm getting ready. I start classes tomorrow. So I obviously pre-record these episodes a bit just because when I want to like talk about things, I sit down and record and I don't necessarily wait until like the night before the podcast is supposed to go up to film or record. Sorry. I just kind of do it as train of thought as things are happening. So I am taking a couple classes. I'm taking 2 women's studies classes. I like have these random electives I need to take and for some reason they all fall within like women's studies. Like I don't, it's really weird. I'm a comm major, so communication at San Diego State. And you have a couple like general eds you have to take in your upper divisions and they have women's studies courses that just like fit my time slots. So feminism, Woo. And I'm taking a nonverbal communication course and an intercultural communication course. So it's going to be like a pretty simple semester, I think. It shouldn't be too hard, but I'm excited. I really like going back to school. I think it's nice to make like new connections with people in your classes and take and learn new courses and information. I feel like I learned a lot last semester that I've actually applied into my everyday life, which is way more than I could say about like previous courses I've taken at a community college. So it's exciting to, get up into those upper divisions and start really trucking through and learning a lot of new things. So yeah, what else is going on? I have just been kind of working a bit, working on the podcast. I am working on sending pitch emails out to potential guests, so that's coming soon. Kind of pitching myself, to people that I know and people that I don't know. Like, I want this to be a very learning and growing experience for me. I don't want to do things just based off connection. I want to learn how to network and how to pitch myself as a someone of a brand or someone of a podcast that has potential to help other people help their listeners and their audiences learn more about them through the platform that is my podcast. So I'm excited to start sending those emails out, getting people on board, but it is a little bit nerve-wracking. I've never done anything like that before where I've had to, talk to strangers and ask them to come over to my apartment to film a podcast with me. It's just kind of weird, but it's exciting. So that's happening. I didn't write any of this down. This is kind of train of thought. I have been going on a couple interesting dates lately. I have the craziest story. And I think I want to share, I don't know if I want to share it right now. Okay, I'll share it. And if I don't want to share it, I'll cut it out. But basically, a month ago, so in December, I went out for my friend's birthday. And I talked about this on the first episode of the podcast where I went out sober and I hated going out sober. I thought the guys were so weird and like, there was so much like violation happening at the bar. When you don't realize when you're not sober, like this is weird. We all get really drunk and touch each other at bars, and like it's just odd. But I went out my friend's 23rd birthday. Her name is Leah. She listens to the podcast because she's my friend and such a loyal human being. Like I love her so much. We went out for her birthday. I took my roommate. Me and her were both sober. No one else was. But we went to a bar and we're just dancing, and we had these film cameras that we were taking photos with. So we were taking pictures all night, and I guess I was talking to one of the guys at the bar, in my sober state, and he was not sober. But there was a couple pictures of us because my friend was like taking, candid shots at the bar. And this guy was super cute. Like I was like, ooh, he is my type, like cute. But I was too sober. He was too drunk. Like there was nothing happening there. But I got the pictures back a couple weeks ago. And I saw these pictures with this man, and I was like, oh my God, who is this man? Like, we need to find him. So I posted on my Instagram a couple pictures of the night. So I'll definitely be posting them on the On the Rocks Pod Instagram page when this podcast comes out to give you guys some context. But basically, it's a really cute picture of me, and there's a guy standing next to me, and there was a couple more photos of us the other night, but I posted that one because I thought it was funny. My caption was like, how do we think the night ended? Because he was in the last picture. It was scandalous. It was a little funny. I thought it was cheeky, cute, whatever, funny. And I posted on my story. There is this thing in San Diego called Pacific.beach, which is an Instagram page. And I guess it's kind of like a classified. And sometimes they post funny things. And someone was like, you need to post that on your story, the picture of you two, tag Pacific.beach, see if they'll repost it and say, like, find this guy and like have them send you his Instagram handle, whatever. I posted it, nothing came of it. It was just hilarious to me. But the next night, not the next night, but this last Friday, I went out to the bars with friends, and it was a really random night. I was not going to go out. I had work really early the next day. My roommate had her boyfriend, who I went to high school with, all of his friends from college came over and they're like, Vanessa, you have to come out. Like, woo, we're going out. And they were all drinking heavily. I had one glass of wine and we ended up going to the bar. My roommate's boyfriend got super sick, had to go home. And so I'm stuck with these people that like I kind of know but don't really know. So it was a big group of guys who all like had girlfriends and like they were all there. And I was literally the only single person there, I'm pretty sure. And I was like, well, it looks like I have 25 boyfriends, so there's nothing happening for me tonight. But I went to the bathroom and I walk back and I see the guy from the picture. And I just like was dying inside. I was like, I have to go show him this photo. So I walk up to this guy and his big group of friends and like, I don't know who I am, but like, go Vanessa. I just like shooted my shot. I don't know. I went up to him. Okay. But like a little bit tipsy Vanessa can do anything. And honestly, sober Vanessa can do anything too. Like I'm pretty confident when I go to bars for some reason. I don't know why. Whatever. I walk up to this guy and I'm like, is this you? I show him the picture and he's like, what the hell? Like that's crazy. Whatever. So he's like, send this to me on DM. I send it to him. He like messages me throughout the night. I left. I went home. I had work in the morning, whatever. The next day, he's texting me because I gave him my number and he is texting me and he's so cute. Like I thought he was the cutest guy. So he then invites me over to his house to watch football. Just think about that. Like if you're a woman and a man invites you over to his house on the first like date, the first encounter, like, you're probably not going to go or you're going to be, like, going over and knowing you're going to hook up with them. I normally wouldn't have gone, but I had a really weird day. And I was like, maybe I need something that's going to get me out of my comfort zone. This is, like, fate. The universe is aligned to have this happen right now. So I'm going to go. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to go. Go to this man's house. We watch football. We sit on separate couches. There is no connection happening at all. I think he's really cute. And I think like there for a second was connection. And then he's like, let's watch the Cheer documentary on Netflix. And I'm like, okay, like, sure. This is very boring. Like this, it's boring. His roommate came down and like was eating Chipotle and watching this documentary with us. And this documentary like episodes are an hour long. And we're like, not even talking at this point. And I'm sitting on an opposite couch because I have no game. And I just forget that you have to, like, you know, like, try when you go to a guy's house to, like, make them like you. But, like, I'm working on this thing called having standards. And that's what this whole episode is about. But maybe this is, like, a good intro into this. I was like, I'm going to go over this house, this guy's house, right? I'm not going to hook up with him. No. Like, I refuse. I'm going to make him like me for the person that I am. Oh, my God. It just – isn't it funny how, like, that just sounds barbaric in this day and age? But, like, what do I expect? What do I expect? It's 2020. New year, new standards. So, let's get into the podcast because that is what we're here to do. We're talking about standards today, or I'm talking about standards today. You're listening to me talk about standards today, so let's freaking do it. I wrote down notes, pulling them up. Oh, freaking K. So, I want to give a bit of a background about me because I feel like this is some good context as to why I felt like this year I am starting to implement these new standards into my life and I'm being more steadfast and following my moral compass than I have been in the past, I'd say like 6 months. I say I had fallen off the bandwagon with following standards and sticking up for myself and like knowing who I truly am. And I think it's because of there's a lot of reasons that have led up to that, but I remember myself in high school being so steadfast in my standards for people, for myself, for the things I would do, the things I would like consume in terms of media and like content. You know, it's so blurry now, but I was very, very like much a 13-year-old going on 30 my whole life, if that makes sense. I've always just been a lot more mature than I feel like a lot of people that in my life have been. And I always just kind of knew what my direction was, and I followed my direction based off of like my values and moral standards, and I was very, very confident in the person that I was, and I believed myself to be morally kind of in check, if that makes any sense. So I think a lot of that has to do with being the duff. And I don't know if anyone else can relate to this. I hope you can. Because I think being the duff teaches you shit. And if I wasn't the duff in high school, I don't know where I would be today. And I want to explain this because I think it's important to kind of know a little bit more about me and like my history with dating and my history with self-confidence and all of that, because it has shaped me and the person I am today. And it is important, and it is something that I think we kind of like lose sight in as we get early into our 20s. I think we all kind of just allow life to take us in the wind and just kind of not really care about the things that are happening in our lives and kind of bringing our moral standards down in order to have experiences. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how I have maintained and kept really high standards for myself. I have faltered in them, like I've said, in the last 6 months, but I do think in my life I've been very, very like consistent and confident in the person that I am. And I think it's funny to kind of contribute that to being the deaf in high school, but I think the deaf has a really negative connotation. I don't think it necessarily is. If you've ever seen the movie The Deaf, I think it's a really good, accurate representation of what it was like for me to be a deaf in high school. So I had a ton of really pretty friends in high school. I jumped around to different friend groups, as you do, and all my friends were just really pretty. They had guys who would text me and ask for their numbers, and I was kind of like the gatekeeper, if that makes sense. If you know anything about what the duff is, it's called technically the dumb, ugly, fat friend. And I don't think I was dumb or ugly or fat. You know, like I was the friend that not necessarily everyone thought was attractive, and I kind of had more of a personality. Oh, that didn't sound right. I was a very strong personality, and I've always kind of been intimidating, and I just like am a very average looking human being, and a lot of people that I went to high school with had a different kind of following, if that makes sense. Like guys really thought that they were attractive, and I just was Vanessa. So I do think that benefited me a lot in learning some of the standards that I wanted to keep for myself. And I think I learned that because I watched a lot of my friends in high school go through really terrible relationships, super toxic, unhealthy things that they all had to go through and figure out for themselves. I got to kind of sit back and watch instead of having to be a part of. So I think I gained healthy habits in terms of the standards I was going to keep for myself in relationships and what I would and would not accept within those relationships. So when I did start dating, I started dating my senior year of high school, I had more of a nice like foundation as to understanding how relationships work, like how to understand toxic relationships, how to give advice to others. And through the advice I would give to my friends and like the things we would all have to figure out together as friends, you know, going through high school and those relationships, I then could take those and really incorporate them into my life and how I functioned and the standards I would keep for myself. So I really do think that being a duff teaches you some shit because you get to see all of your friends go through so much shit way younger than you had to, because I mean, like maybe I was more of like a late bloomer or like didn't really start dating. I started dating my senior year of high school, like midway through. So like after December, I think we started dating in like February, around that time. I started, like, was the first guy I ever talked to even like seriously in high school. So then I had about like a 9 month long relationship up until the point where I was leaving for college. And it was actually an incredibly healthy relationship from what I can remember from it. Oh, excuse me, from it. I remember it being very emotionally like encompassed. So it wasn't necessarily super physical in high school, but it was more like we really connected on an emotional level. And then I just had very, very strict boundaries. I was very like diligent in the way that he would treat me, and I would even treat him. It was just incredibly healthy, which was weird, but I think I learned how to make it healthy because I witnessed all my friends go through so much shit. But it definitely lacked. I mean, it didn't last, so it lacked in a lot of other aspects as well that I know that I then had to take and learn and then incorporate into future relationships. So from there, we ended up breaking up. I dated a bit in college. We ended up getting back together over Christmas break, the traditional Christmas break, get back together with your high school boyfriend. So I did that. I've talked about this before on the last episode, but then we ended up getting back together like second semester of my freshman year of college. So after Christmas break, we got back together and we dated for another like 4 months. He came out to visit me and I think I just like knew it wasn't right. We ended up breaking up after he visited me. I broke up with him. Not that that means anything, but I broke up with him because he like violated my standards. He stopped trusting me in the relationship. When I considered myself to be more of a trustworthy person than he considered me to be. So I ended up ending things with him because my standards were set. Like I was like, I will not let someone treat me that way. I will not let someone tell me that they don't trust me. Like that to me is not the good foundation of a relationship. Like at 19, oh no, how old was I? I was 18 at the time. Like I had very, very strong values and morals and really believed strongly that I had to be treated properly in order for me to continue a relationship with someone. And I followed through with that, which was a really great learning experience. I mean, obviously any relationship has its faults, but I do think after that, I didn't necessarily have the best track record with sticking to my standards. The people I would go on dates with, even second dates with, the people I ended up like dating and calling my boyfriends, I've only ever had three relationships that I would consider relationships, and the relationship after my high school boyfriend was more physical and not necessarily like we didn't really connect in any other way, but I'm still like friends with him, I guess you could say now, and I just think we're not compatible. But after that, I've had just like a ton of gaps where I've dated a ton. I've gone on like so many Tinder dates. I don't know if anyone else can relate to that. But I mean, I live in a big city. So for me, I've always kind of been working and going to school. So it's kind of been hard for me to meet people. So I mean, when I was underage, I would go on Tinder dates because that was the only way for me to meet guys and yada, yada, yada. So I remember taking a super long hiatus, and then I started dating my last boyfriend in May of 2018. I think that's right. And then we ended up breaking up in May of 2019. So now it's been a while. So since then, I think I can say that, like, even during that relationship, like the standards that I like kept for myself in terms of like how I wanted a relationship to progress and how I wanted my morals to align with another person, especially someone I was super serious with, I kind of just like let falter because I was kind of, I don't know, I wasn't very strong in the person I was in that relationship. I kind of just like let things go more than I normally would because I was very much like invested into the relationship and thought that this was going to be my future. And so I kind of just was like, okay, well, I mean, he wants this and I don't want that, but like, that's okay. Like I will, you know, meet him in the middle and like do things that I normally like would not put up with or do, but I just kind of was, and this sounds not like the most positive, but we had a great relationship, but I don't know. I just think that I faltered, and I think I remember even a time in the relationship where he tried to end things, and I was like, no, you're not ending things, and like for me now, I will never ever put myself in that situation again where like I will tried to make someone want me who really doesn't really want me. And that is, I mean, like a blurb in the relationship, but like I can't even expose like the more things. I don't want to expose him because he didn't sign up to be exposed. I signed up to be exposed. So I think I just didn't let my morals guide me throughout the relationship. I kind of let my heart guide me more than my head. And as much as it's great to let your heart guide you, you kind of have to bring your head in at some point and be like, whoa, is this good for me? Like, am I in a healthy, happy, like fulfilling relationship? And then I don't think I even realized until the last month before we broke up that I really wasn't happy because I was so consumed by the relationship. I just wanted to be there for him more than I wanted to be there for myself. So I completely let myself go. And I think when I got out of the relationship, I didn't know who I was. I had no moral compass or guidance. And really just like lost myself and the idea that like I had this very serious relationship that I thought was going to be a forever in any way at 20. You can think something's going to be a forever. I just didn't really know who I was after that. So I got out of the relationship. I turned 21 shortly after that. So I kind of like had my time to like get over it for a few months before I turned 21 and then tried to like let myself go back out into the dating world. And in that, I made some like mistakes. And I, you know, everyone's going to make mistakes in dating and like the people you're hanging out with, even the people, I mean, the people I was hanging out with were not good for me. The people I was going on dates with did not have potential because I was not ready. I was, you know, seeing guys who I knew I wasn't going to like, but I just was doing it because for me, it was like the more the merrier, if that makes sense, like the more experiences, the more friends, the more guys, like all of that is going to like fulfill me in some way. And I think it took me a while to realize that it was doing the opposite of fulfill me. It was like taking from me and my morals and everything that I was doing just like really was not aligning with the person that I've always known myself to be. And not that I was doing anything like inherently bad. I don't think I was. I was just being more like adventurous and like less careful, if that makes sense. So I'm sure I'll tell more stories about all of that. But I really just did not have standards. I had zero standards because I think I went into like a fresh start. And around the same time that I was going through the breakup, a few months before in December, I had like ended a friendship that was like super consuming as well. Like we were best friends. I knew everything about her life. She knew everything about mine. And it was a very, very interesting dynamic, which I'll be talking about in a future episode with my roommate, Kelsey. We're going to do an episode about like friend breakups, but it was just a very consuming friendship. And so was the relationship I was in. So I was just like consumed by two people in the sense of like, I didn't really ever take time for myself. I was always worried about other people's issues and problems and like the things they were going through more than I was worried about the things that I'm going through. And to pivot off of that a little bit, I think I'm realizing lately that like I'm a very empathic person more than I realized myself to be, where people's energy and the people I care about most in my life, like their well-being, their energy, and their attitude is consuming to me. Like I let it completely change my mood, my attitude, my being, because I'm very empathic and I care so much about the people around me. I'm learning that I kind of have to like put up blockers for that. So I'm working on that, but that's kind of a pivot. And I want to talk about more about that in the future. Once I like start realizing more about my empathic ways. I'm not just necessarily an empath, if you know what that is, but like I definitely let other people's energy affect my mood, and it can ruin my days and it can ruin my like my own being because I am so consumed by others, which is not healthy at all. But something I've noticed about myself. But through those relationships that had then ended, I like was like, oh, I have no friends. I don't have a boyfriend. Like, oh my God, who am I? Like, what the fuck is happening? Like, I just literally lost myself so hard that I started hanging out with people that necessarily did not fill me up, but brought me down even more and were making decisions that I would never have agreed with. And I put up with so much in terms of how I let others treat me. And I kind of let people walk all over me, which I've never been that way. I just completely lost myself. So I can like ramble on and ramble on about losing myself. But I do think that like being consumed in relationships and two very like heavy friendships and then a relationship then made me lose the person that I've always known myself to be, which is the moral of how I kind of went against my standards and let life fly by without me being very conscious about the choices I was making and who I was spending my time with. So I remember it was about June, I believe. So it was a month after I had gone through a very big breakup with my ex-boyfriend, that I went to a concert and at this concert got very drunk. And I remember going into the concert being like, I'm going to go hook up with a guy tonight. What? Like this was I think it was 2 or 3 weeks after the breakup. So we'd broken up at the end of May. I was supposed to go out to fly to see him and he ended things with me about like 3 or 4 days before I was supposed to go, which was devastating. So I was not well, not okay. I went on a trip that I should not have gone on to see a friend and like ended the friendship because I was just not in a good place. To, you know, be seeing people who I valued in life, you know, I kind of needed to be alone and I didn't realize at the time, but that led to like an end of a friendship because I just like was not a good person when I was on that trip. Unfortunately, something I like is hard for me to even talk about now because I think like the person you are when you're like broken up with is not a good person. And so a couple weeks after I went to a concert and got very drunk and was talking to a bunch of different guys that whole night and like got very emotional. And then ended up calling my ex-boyfriend at this concert in the corner. I was like in the corner by like the food. They have like food vendors, like water vendors, all of that. It was like a country concert and one of those amphitheaters, the outdoor amphitheaters. So I call him and I'm like bawling to him on the phone. It's like 2 a.m. his time. I'm bawling on the phone, crying. We talked all night. It was not good. But I mean, I was very close to him. So like, I think like he was the person I felt comfortable doing that with. Not a good move on my part, but that's okay. And then we ended up deciding to talk the next day in some capacity. And his attitude from the night before, which completely changed. He was like super apathetic the night, like empathetic the night before. And like just really, in a sense, like I felt like wanted another chance, or I don't know, I don't really know, but like we were just both not okay and like not doing well with the breakup because I don't think either of us really wanted to break up, but like just knew that it wasn't working. So at the end of that conversation, he left me with a message that I like literally wrote down after. He left me with a message because I had told him the night before that I went to this concert with the thought to hook up with people, like with guys. I was like, I'm going crazy, I'm drinking, I'm gonna go hook up with guys, like, and you did this to me. Essentially, I did that to him on the phone. I said that to him very honestly, you know. And so the next day he felt like he needed to kind of like remind me in a sense of the person he thinks that I am, because I think I lost myself and I think he even could see that I was not, you know, the person he met however long ago. And he left me with a message that I'm gonna read because I do think it is kind of my, it inspired me to get back onto a moral compass. I think after I got this message from him, or like he said this to me over the phone, I like went against it in a lot of ways and kind of out of spite of like, this is who you want me to be and I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to go like do whatever I want and like be 21 and be fun. And he tried to, you know, remind me of my morals and I just like totally went against them. But now I recently rediscovered this note that I have in my phone And it's been quite a while since my breakup with him, but I can like look at this and remind myself of who I am in a sense of or of how he saw me, which was someone that like I want to be seen to people as. So it's really nice to know he saw me as this. But yeah, let me just read it to you because I'm kind of rambling. Okay. You're not the girl who cries at concerts or randomly hooks up with guys or takes things from anyone. No, you're the girl who is strong. You're the girl who goes after what she wants. You're the girl who won't just accept the average life. You work hard. You deserve the best. Please don't ever change who you are because you're pretty damn good. So, I like smile when I see that because it is who I know myself to be. Like, I know myself to be this very strong person. I know myself to have high standards for how I let guys treat me. You know, I am not someone who necessarily like has a bunch of one night stands or puts up with people's shit. Like, I'm just not that person. I never have been. I never have been. So I think it was kind of, you know, coming off of the relationships I had that ended, and coming out not really knowing who I was, that created this like person who wanted to go against everything that I've always known myself to be and everything that he knew me to be as well. So when he said that to me, as much as I let it sink in as much as I could, I kind of went against that. I like hung out with people who treated me like shit. I went on dates with guys who did not deserve my time. I, you know, went on even second dates with those guys who did not deserve my time. Like I saw those guys who didn't deserve my time and I allowed myself to kind of revert back to this person that like I've never known myself to be, which is incredibly unfortunate. But after I've rediscovered this note, like that I wrote down in my phone, it reminded me that like I have so much more. I am so much more than the person I was allowing myself to be over these last 6 months. And I don't think I was necessarily a bad person and I was going completely against my morals or anything like that. Like, I definitely still stood by the person that I was. But I do think I let myself falter a bit too much. I let myself kind of just go after experiences more than I went after experiences that align with my morals, if that makes sense. I thought that in order for me to have those experiences, I had to change the person that I was and allow people into my life that didn't necessarily lift me up, but then provided experiences for me because it was like I have to do everything and everything and anything, and I don't necessarily care who's with me while I do those things. I just want to have these experiences. But as much as life did get exciting, because it gets more exciting when you step out of your comfort zone, it doesn't mean that you have to lower your morals or values to do that. And for a while, I thought that that was the only way for me to find excitement. You know, to lose those values was the only way for me to experience different things. But looking back, it wasn't. And I don't think those experiences even brought me anything today that I could look back on and be like, I'm proud of that. Or that was an amazing moment. You know, the amazing moments that I've had over the last 6 months happened when I was around people I loved and who valued me, and when I stood up for the person that I know that I am. Those are the experiences I can remember now, and I value and I will always hold to my heart. So, if that says anything and reminds you guys, like, guys, we have to be better about being conscious when we're in our 20s. As much as it's fun to do whatever and say whatever and be whoever, like, this is such a pivotal time in our lives, and the people that we're going to then become one day starts now. And so it's important for us to stick to the people we know we are, stick to the person that, you know, middle or high school you would be proud of today. Like, as much as it's fun to go to a bar and go home with a guy, that's great. That's fun to each their own. Like, are we gonna like be proud of that moment compared to like being proud of a moment where we like stayed in and had a conversation with someone who mattered to us? I don't know. That sounds so shitty. Like, you can do whatever. I'm not saying like that's a bad thing. I've definitely had my share, but It's just so important to now in our young adolescence or however old you are, to stick to who you are, to be proud of that person, and to nurture that person, because we're going to have to live with that person. So, you know, one of my New Year's resolutions was to set standards and to engage a stronger moral compass than what I had. And I wanted to allow that to guide my life. So what I did was I wrote down this list that I have on my computer, which is titled What I Want for Myself in a Relationship. And this doesn't necessarily mean what I want for myself in a relationship with a significant other. This is more of a relationship with anyone and everyone, and especially myself. So the list includes to be kind, to be understanding, to be forgiving, to be generous with my time, to know who I am and the happiness I have within myself will never be due to someone else, but that they can only add to the greatness that already lives within me, to be dedicated to making a sense of self and to maintaining that sense of self, to feel butterflies, to be critical, and to never settle. So those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 standards that I am trying to hold to myself this year. And I'm sure I'm going to falter in every decision. These can apply. But just overall, these are things I want to start incorporating in the person that I am. I want to be kinder. Like, I want to be kinder not only to others, but then to myself as well. And to stop being so freaking mean to myself. I am my own harshest critic. And I can make a whole episode talking about being your own harshest critic, because I feel like I have the knowledge. I am so hard on myself. And then I need to stop being harder on others as well. So that incorporates to be kind, to be understanding that, like, sometimes I'm going to falter and that's okay, and others are going to falter and that's okay. And that does not define who they are. That does not define who I am. To be forgiving. I think I hold a lot of grudges. I do have that high standard for others that I can then not forgive them because I hold them to a higher standard than I even hold myself. Like, I have to forgive myself, I have to forgive others, and I can't hold grudges, and I have to just let things kind of fly off of my shoulders and be like, all right, that happened, and we're moving on. Like, that is not defining who you are. We're all developing the person we are, and everyone's going to falter, so that is not necessarily define people. We have to forgive. And then to be generous with my time, to, you know, make more time for experiences with myself, you know, to be alone in that way, and then also to be around others. So to see people I haven't seen but I want to nurture relationships with, but also to be generous with my time with myself, to know that I don't necessarily have to spend time with others who do not build me up. And then I wrote this is kind of self-explanatory, to know that who I am and the happiness I have within myself will never be due to someone else, but they can only add to the greatness that lives within me. Pretty freaking self-explanatory. I have to be good with myself in order to allow others in and know that they can't be my happiness. I have to be my happiness. And then to be dedicated to maintaining a sense of self, which is what this whole podcast is about. To feel butterflies. So I want to feel excitement in everything that I do. And I know that's not necessarily, you know, very likely, but to feel butterflies with when I'm with friends or with guys or with myself, to just like be doing things that always make me a little bit nervous, make me a little bit unsure, but like excited for what's to come. And then to be critical. So to be critical of myself and to be like diligent with like being, keeping myself in check in a sense. Like, I gotta be kind of critical of the decisions I'm making, and then also to be critical of others. And it's kind of contradictory to everything that I've said, but I think, like I said, I was surrounding myself with people who were treating me like shit, walking all over me and not being nice to me. And I have to be critical in that sense of being like, it's okay to cut people out of your life who don't necessarily lift you up, because everyone has that. Does it not necessarily make them a bad person? People have cut me out of their lives. It does not necessarily make me a terrible human being, but it means that that person does not have, you don't have the space for that person in your life. And I have to be okay with the fact that other people have cut me out of my life and the fact that I have to sometimes cut people out of my life. But just being critical and being very aware of who you're spending your time with, and to be like conscious and guarding of your heart in the way of sometimes not everyone deserves you, and that's okay. You have to protect yourself. And then to never settle. So that comes with everything, relationships, friendships, myself. Like, I don't ever want to be settling for anything that is less than my time, my value, my energy, my worth. Like, this is my life, and I'm not going to settle for anything less than what I want. So that is my list. And, you know, this list means something to me, and it's personal to me, but I do encourage, you know, everyone to kind of sit down and like make a list like that. Make a list of the things you want from yourself and others, and try to stick to it as much as you possibly can, because it definitely, I feel like it will help me. I mean, even that note on my phone from my ex-boyfriend that reminded me of those standards is nice to look at once in a while when I feel like I'm kind of like losing my sense of self. I can be like, oh, someone who loved me once told me these things. And you can be that person who loves you, you know, who writes those things about yourself. You can implement that about yourself, and you can look back and you can be guided back to the person like you know that you are. So I think that that's a really valuable thing. And I think that, like, if anyone didn't have New Year's resolutions this year, I know we're kind of getting into the year, but that's something that you can do at any time. And I think it's a perfect way to kind of snap yourself back into shape. So yeah, I hope that that made sense to you guys and you guys got something from that, because I do think that it helps me even just to sit down and record this. It's reminded me of who I am in that way. And it's kind of nice to sit back and reflect on the person, the strong and like confident person that you have known yourself to be, you know, from your adolescence, and to look back and be like, oh, I still am that person. I mean, I'm developing into becoming a different person, but I can take a little bit of that person and implement that into who I'm becoming. So yeah, this has been a really good episode for me to record, because it's nice to just sit down and reflect sometimes. And I've been doing that lately by journaling. So I have a journal. It's more of like a fitness journal, because I'm working on my fitness quite a bit lately. But it has a section for me to just like write out, you know, my day and what I've been doing. And I've been writing out things. It also like has a section where it asks me, like, you know, what I'm grateful for, what I'm thankful for in my health, and like all of these different things in this journal that I write in almost every night. That is a nice way for me to reflect on the day even, and the week, and how I'm doing. It's nice to like see it, write it out, like get it out of my head and like make it a physical thing. It has been helping a ton. And another way for me to do that is to listen to like motivational podcasts. I know that sounds interesting, but even something that you can listen to someone else talk about, you know, how they have developed their journey of self-love and self-care and all those things. I know there's a bunch of really good podcasts out right now. I tend to listen to more like, what's the word? Entertainment podcasts, things that make me laugh and happy. But I do think there are a ton of inspirational podcasts that can help guide you and remind you of who you are. But I do think journaling is one of the great ways to do that. You know, taking at least 10 minutes for yourself in the day, whether that's meditating, journaling, reading. Oh my God, can I talk? Whether that is meditating, journaling, reading. Girl, whether that is meditating, journaling, and reading, I do think there are a bunch of outlets in order for you to take steps to bettering yourself, which is something that, you know, was one of my New Year resolutions, is to better myself. And through that, I'm creating standards. So it's all a process. Life is a friggin' process, and it's exhausting, but it's also amazing. Am I right? I'm right. Okay. So we're wrapping up the podcast now because it is late. It is almost 10 p.m. I got shit to do tomorrow. But yeah, I wanted to thank you guys. I haven't done that yet, but like how much support that I have gotten from the listeners of this podcast has been amazing. I like wrote down all the names of people who left me messages and texts and all of that about how much they liked the podcast, and even like, you know, comments of what people wanted to see and all of that. And people have reviewed it on Apple Podcasts, which is amazing. So the podcast is now available everywhere you listen to a podcast. I mean, most people listen to podcasts on Apple and Spotify. So it's on both of those now. It's totally accessible to anyone. So if you guys have friends or family or anyone that you could recommend the podcast to, I'd love to grow it to new listeners. So please tell people about the podcast. Leave a review, even if it's just a rating on Apple Podcasts, because that gets people to see it more. Because I do want to, you know, like develop a community of, you know, 20 somethings trying to figure our shit out. And the only way for me to do that is, you know, word of mouth. And yeah, tell people you like it. Or, you know, this weird girl from high school has a podcast that's like, you should listen to. That's me. Okay. But yeah, leave a review. Let me know how you like it. It helps me a ton. It's like almost currency in the podcast world to leave someone a review, and it takes like 5 seconds. So help me out that way. Yeah, stay tuned to the Instagram. I like post a ton on there, and I will definitely be posting the pictures from the weird date that I went on and how I talked about that in the beginning of the episode, the guy at the bar. I'll be posting those like screenshots of what happened, but it was pretty epic, and it's so funny to like sit down, you know, once a week and talk about the things that are happening in your life. It's such a nice outlet to be able to just like laugh at yourself, but then to be serious and talk about the shit you're going through. And I love podcasting, and I don't know if you guys can tell that from listening, but this is truly my passion project, and I'm so I'm happy that I get to be able to do this and take time out of my week and my life to be able to, you know, like talk to people who want to listen to this podcast. So thank you guys for messaging me and listening and DMing me, and like just I like love it. I'm so stoked. This is so exciting. So with all that being said, we've talked about standards, we've talked about crazy dates and my life and what I'm doing and all of the things. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of On the Rocks, and stay tuned for the next episode. I'll catch you guys soon.